Welcome to the 359th episode of Travelitch Radio, the show that lets you scratch your lust for travel from the friendly confines of your home. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my terrific new co-host, Keita Roberts, also known as Girl Carnivore, because of her creative and colorful culinary expertise. Every week at this time, we bring you inside the world of travel, from hotels and tours to cruise ships, planes, trains, and things you can eat or read on your trip. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the show later on Facebook, blogtalkradio.com, or my website, danschlossberg.net. Tonight, our guest is my longtime friend, Renee Graham, Tourism Director of Callaway County Tourism in Fulton, Missouri, home of the National Winston Churchill Museum. Welcome, Renee, to Travelitch Radio.
Hi, Dan. Thank you so much for having me. Hi, Keita.
Okay, Renee, we haven't featured Missouri enough on Travelitch Radio, so I'm especially glad we can do so tonight. First of all, please tell our listeners where Callaway County is located.
Well, we're in the heart of the Midwest in flyover country. Missouri's right in the center of the country, and we are right in the center of the state. We're on Interstate 70, halfway between Kansas City and St. Louis. It's a pretty good place to be if you're a football or a baseball fan, I might say.
Well, because I have a strong interest in history, it's also a pretty good place to be for history with the World War I Museum in Kansas City, too. Please tell us how and why the National Winston Churchill Museum is located in the town of Fulton.
So in 1946, Winston Churchill traveled with President Harry Truman to Westminster College here in Fulton. And Churchill gave an address that day that was called Sinews of Peace, but it became known as the Iron Curtain Speech because it was really considered a harbinger of the Cold War between the U.S. and the Soviet Union.
But why Fulton?
Well, Westminster was looking for a speaker for its John Finley Green Lecture, and a Westminster alumni who served as a military aide to President Truman was able to help get the letter to the president. And that invitation really might not have gone anywhere, but Truman wrote a postscript. "This is a wonderful school in my home state. Hope you can do it. I will introduce you. Best regards, Harry Truman." And Churchill was out of office as prime minister at the time, and he was looking for an opportunity to give a speech about the Soviet Union's actions, so he accepted the offer.
So how did Churchill and Truman get to Fulton?
Well, they took a train from D.C. to Jefferson City, which is our state capital. It's about 30 minutes away. And then they took a motorcade into Fulton. And we've heard that there was some poker games during that train ride. In fact, Churchill lost about $250 to the Americans. When they got into Fulton, they had a rest at the home of the college president. They dined on Callaway County ham, and they liked it. Churchill liked it so much, he requested several to be sent back to England.
We are talking with Renee Graham of Callaway County Tourism. Did it take 20 or more years before the Churchill Museum then opened?
Westminster was looking for a way to commemorate the upcoming 20th anniversary of the speech, and the school president had seen an article in Life magazine about the church ruins of London, and the campus had lost its chapel. It had actually slid down the hill. You know, we are karst topography and a lot of rain and very lush, and so they had lost their chapel, and they decided to secure a burned out church from London and bring it over to commemorate Churchill's speech.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know it's true. The museum is housed in a rebuilt church that stood in London 300 years until it was bombed in World War II. Could you tell us about that?
Yes, the St. Mary the Virgin Aldermanbury actually can trace its roots to either the 11th or 12th century. And the original church was destroyed in the Great Fire of London in 1666, and it left only the foundation and the stone steps that lead to the crypt. King Charles ordered the architect Christopher Wren to rebuild 53 churches in London. So construction, it was the ninth church that he rebuilt. It started in 1672 and was completed in 1677. And that church stood until December 29, 1940, when it was gutted by a German incendiary bomb during the Blitz of London.
Well, we hear rebuilding the church took 6 years because the original numbered stones were separated, creating the world's hardest jigsaw puzzle. How did that happen?
Well, that's true. So London had so many burned out buildings after World War II, and they were pretty much left untouched. And so the walls of the church were still partially standing. So when we made the decision to bring the church over in 1965, crews began to dismantle, clean, and label the stones very carefully. And there were about 7,000 stones, including the original 11th century steps. Unfortunately, when they arrived at the port, they were uncrated and shipped out of order. And so they arrived in Fulton in a jumbled mess. In fact, three of the freight cars were missing, but eventually made their way to Fulton. So the stones were laid out over 2 acres of land, just down the hill from where the museum stands today. The first day, they were only able to find two of the stones. Luckily, over time, the workers were able to find the pieces more quickly, and the last stone was placed in 1967. But then, once the walls were in place, we still brought in craftsmen and artisans from around the world to restore the interior of the church, and which was dedicated May 7th of 1969. And it is a beautiful church. I hope everyone would come and visit it.
Renee, can you tell us a little bit about the sculpture Breakthrough that stands on the grounds? Didn't Churchill's granddaughter have a lot to do with that?
Correct. So Edwina Sandys is Churchill's granddaughter, and she's a sculptor. And when the Berlin Wall fell in 1989, she wanted to honor her grandfather's warning of the Cold War. She went to Germany and secured sections of the Berlin Wall. She sculpted them out of the figure of a man and a woman breaking out of the wall, hence the name Breakthrough. And the male and female forms carved from the wall were named Break Free, and they stand near the FDR Library in Hyde Park, New York. So it's a nice tie between our communities that you can see both those sections of the wall.
I saw pieces of the Berlin Wall at the now defunct museum in Washington, D.C. How many pieces does the Churchill Museum have?
Well, the Breakthrough was created from 8 segments of the wall, and at 11 feet high and 32 feet long is the largest intact section outside of Germany. But the museum does have a few other smaller pieces, and in fact, visitors to the museum can actually purchase small pieces in the gift shop.
I want to tell our listeners, you're listening to Travelitz Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Keita Roberts. Listen live on iTunes or blogtalkradio.com, or check out the archive show on Facebook. And we're talking with Renee Graham of Callaway County Tourism. Keita?
So there is a big contrast between West German side and the East German side, correct, Renee?
Absolutely. Edwina Sands picked sections from the Brandenburg Gate. And one of the reasons she picked those sections is because of the incredibly bold graffiti that was on the West German side. Keep in mind, the East Germans couldn't get anywhere near the wall, but the West German side had just layers of graffiti. And one of the things that appealed to her was that there was repeated use of the word Unwahr, which means untruths or lies. By contrast, when you stand on the East German side, it's very stark, gray, and formidable. And you realize that people died trying to get over that wall to freedom and a better life. That wall separated families and friends for 28 years, so it really is powerful to see the difference between those two sides.
That is incredibly powerful. And
it is.
Switching a little bit, yet another president, Ronald Reagan, was also involved in the museum as well. Can you please tell us about his role?
Yes, and some of us may remember that in 1987, President Ronald Reagan stood in front of Brandenburg Gate, and he called for Russian General Secretary Mikhail Gorbachev to open the gate. Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall. It was a very powerful speech. And as the Cold War continued to thaw, the wall actually did come down in 1989. So it seemed only fitting that Reagan would dedicate the breakthrough sculpture a year later on November 9th, 1990.
That is absolutely a beautiful tribute to that. Can you tell us some of the celebrities who have come to visit that museum? I know this includes Margaret Thatcher and Gorbachev.
Yes. So Gorbachev actually stepped through the mail form of breakthrough on May 6, 1992. That was 46 years, 2 months, and 2 days after Winston Churchill's warning about the Cold War. And during that speech, Gorbachev proclaimed an end to the Cold War. And then Margaret Thatcher visited on March 9, 1996 to celebrate the 50th anniversary of Churchill's speech. Her motorcade actually retraced Churchill and Truman's route, and the lunch actually did include country ham once again. We've hosted other notables from the United States. Some of the names most recognizable would be Vice President Hubert Humphrey, President Gerald Ford, Vice President George H.W. Bush. 2 years ago, we hosted Senator Bernie Sanders, and just last fall, we had Dr. Madeleine Albright here. I have no proof of this, but I would say for a town our size, we've had one of the largest number of national and international dignitaries per capita. I'd love to be able to research that and really nail down if that's true or not, because it sure seems like we've had quite a few for a town our size.
And Renee, since you're the director of tourism for Callaway County, what other attractions would you recommend both for the county and also for the town of Fulton?
Well, you know, we are agricultural-based community, and it's beautiful. I mean, we have 4 beautiful seasons. You know, we have a lot of trees. We have prairie. We have forest land. As far as attractions go, we have a collection of privately owned rare vehicles. Bill Backer was a potato chip manufacturer, and he had an eye for incredibly rare vehicles. So we have his private collection at the Auto World Museum. And that's a fun destination for a lot of car clubs. We've hosted military convoys, Willys Jeeps, Crown Vic clubs. So that's a great thing year-round that people can do. The Katy Trail, Missouri's Katy Trail, is one of the longest rails-to-trails projects in the country. And in our area, it runs along the Missouri River in the southern part of our county. And we actually have one of only 2 sections that allow horseback riding. And another tie that we have that I find interesting, we have a lot of ties with New York, is the sculpture of a kneeling firefighter located in New York at 8th Avenue and 41st Street. That sculpture was actually bound for our firefighter memorial here in Callaway County, but it was in customs at Kennedy Airport on 9/11 and became a makeshift memorial. The Firefighters Association of Missouri ended up donating it and ordering a duplicate for our memorial. So if you're ever in New York City, look it up and, you know, come and see the sister sculpture here in Fulton.
Well, I do live pretty close to New York, so I'll try to do that. We're talking with Renee Graham of Callaway County Tourism. Let's talk about Central Missouri a little, Renee. I almost went to college there, as the University of Missouri has a great journalism school that I strongly considered. I understand Columbia, where the school is located, is only a half hour from Fulton, and isn't it true that anyone who wants to visit the Missouri State Capitol, Jefferson City, can also get there from Fulton in about 30 minutes?
Yes. And speaking of Columbia, I love Columbia and Mizzou. I actually lived there for 40 years before coming back to Fulton. Life has a funny way of pulling you home. But I like to think of this area as the Central Missouri Triangle. We have 3 very distinct communities within 30 minutes of each other. The vibrant university town in Columbia, the state government center in Jefferson City and the history that's there, and then our lovely community. And so there really is a lot to do regionally here in Central Missouri.
And how close is Fulton to Lake of the Ozarks, a great summer travel destination where spring starts sooner?
Yes, everyone around this area knows what it means when you say you're going to the lake. It's a scenic hour and 15-minute drive, and you can just find everything from fast boats to bass fishing in quiet coves. You can do a championship golf course or take the family for putt-putt. You can stay at a luxury resort with a spa or hang out at a mom-and-pop campground or little resort. So whatever the budget and whatever your interests are, you can find that down at the lake. It's fantastic.
The lake is certainly beautiful. And wine lovers who come to Fulton can also make a side trip down to Herman, less than an hour away. Can you tell me what they can find there?
Yes. So Herman has a really interesting story that's kind of unique in the country. German Settlement Society was established in Philadelphia in the 1830s, and their goal was to help Germans settle in the American West. And one of the reasons why they looked at the Herman area was because of our terrain was really similar. The Missouri River and the Rhine Valley rivers, Rhine River valleys have some similarity. And they settled, and lots of little tradesmen and professionals moved into the area. But vineyards and wine production really became an important industry. In fact, before Prohibition, Missouri was second only to New York in American wine production. And our native rootstock was used to save France's vineyards during the phylloxera blight in the 1870s. In 1965, the Held family restarted Herman's wine industry at Stonehill Winery. And today, Herman, this is beautiful little river community is dotted with wineries, distilleries, bed and breakfast shops, restaurants. Bicyclists can actually catch the Amtrak, and they can ride the Katy Trail from either St. Louis or Jefferson City, go into Herman, enjoy a getaway in Herman, and then catch Amtrak back and take their bikes actually on the train. So there are a lot of great options to explore that area.
Let's talk history a little bit, Renee. Am I correct in saying that Fulton was named after Robert Fulton, inventor of the steamboat? And when was it founded? How big is it?
Well, we are a small community. We're about 14,000 people, but we feel bigger because we have two private colleges in Fulton, and we have close proximity to Jefferson City and Columbia. Callaway County was settled in 1820, so we're actually celebrating our bicentennial this year. We're actually a year older than the state of Missouri is. But like many settlements along the Missouri River, our original name was Balmy. It had a French connection. But it was changed shortly after that to honor Robert Fulton. But on a side note, Fulton actually didn't invent the steamboat, but he was the first to develop a commercially successful steamboat system. And his company traveled the Hudson River between New York City and Albany. And there is a Valmy, New York, in Oswego County that has a village by the name of Fulton. So, again, there's so many ties between our states. I love those little interconnected monkey business things that I call.
Isn't Fulton a smaller version of Columbia with its own share of artist studios, galleries, and performing art venues?
We do have a really cute downtown. Our downtown brick district has enjoyed a renaissance. We are very fortunate that we've preserved our downtown brick streets, our original Victorian architecture, and we're within walking distance of two colleges. We've saved our 1920s theater. We're home to a surprising variety of restaurants. And we have so many cute shops and so many creative endeavors. And I'll give a shout out. A lot of those endeavors are spearheaded by women entrepreneurs, and they're really doing fun and creative things.
We're talking with Renee Graham of Callaway County Tourism. Keita?
We have to mention Green Meadow Barn Company, which creates handsome furniture from old barn and even includes a pewter medallion that includes a sketch of the actual barn. Can you tell us some more about that?
Oh, Carolyn Linton is an amazing woman. She started as a building contractor, but she's always loved old barns. And like in throughout the Midwest and the entire country, old barns have begun to disappear. And she decided to save the ones she could, including the one that she lives in and the one that houses her studio. So she takes reclaimed barn wood and turns it into furniture and accessories. Each piece is stamped with a medallion that has a sketch of the barn that it came from, and she handwrites a hidden note about the history of each barn on every piece. And so we're really talking fine museum quality furniture that's produced right here in Callaway County. And it, when you buy a piece from her, you really are getting a one-of-a-kind piece.
Well, I know I will be looking that company up online. Salton has some fine century stores as well, and many of them are still a living history. And don't you have one that dates all the way back to 1889?
Yes. So if you're driving in from St. Louis, on the eastern edge of our county, one of the first stops has to be Crane's Country Store. They've been selling boots, bullets, breeches, and bologna in their current location since 1926. You know, they've been outfitting this area for generations, and it's just an incredible stop because it's just chock full of items that the family's collected over the years, and they can actually trace their land grant back to, I believe it's President Monroe. So they've been here for a while.
And visitors to Crane's will encounter fourth-generation owner David Crane, plus a potbelly stove and even a $1 bologna sandwich. But is it true it also attracts a Liars Club that hangs around the stove?
Oh, yes, the Liars Club. That is Calawegian, swapping stories, lies, and half-truths year-round. And it's an especially cozy place to hang out in the winter. And while you're there, you can pick up Carhartt, Pendleton, and Filson gear and clothing that'll keep you warm all season. And it's just, it's a good way to feel the authenticity and the history of what it means to be a Calawegian, and just that sense of community in that small little village. It warms your heart.
And speaking about warming your heart, where can visitors to Callaway County stay, Renee?
Well, we're lucky. We have hotels scattered throughout the county. Kingdom City has several properties, and that's right at the intersection of Interstate 70 and U.S. Highway 54, which is a major crossroads for the country. Right here in Fulton, we have properties as well, but we also have the Loganberry Inn Bed and Breakfast. It's a half block from the Churchill Museum. Margaret Thatcher stayed there during her visit. So did Churchill's daughter, Mary Soames. Polish President and Nobel Peace Prize winner Lech Walesa, Senator Bernie Sanders are just a few of the visitors that have rested their head at the Loganberry Inn.
Every region has its own culinary specialties, and in my alter ego as Girl Carnivore, I am a particular fan of finding those. I would love to hear more about the favorite foods in Callaway County.
Well, you know, I think food and hospitality go together in all parts of the country, but certainly in the Midwest, you know, we want to feed you and we can feed you well. So we have restaurateurs that are doing American fare and sourcing from local producers, which that's something that's happening around the country as people are becoming more aware of that connection between what they put in their bodies and where their food comes from. We also have relative newcomers who are expanding our palates. We have folks offering Cuban, Cajun, Chinese, Japanese. We even have Brooklyn-style pizza, and yeah, they're from Brooklyn, and they don't think you have to have Brooklyn water to produce a good pie. And we talked about the sandwiches at Crane's, but they also have a restaurant, and it really is like having Sunday dinner with your great-grandma. The menu rotates. It's fried chicken one week, roast beef the next, meatloaf the next. We have an apiary that's making ice cream from locally produced honey, a craft butcher that sells brats and fresh cuts of meat from local beef and pork producers. Again, that tie to understanding where your food's coming from. But if you really want a taste of old Callaway County, you have to check out our mutton trail. And mutton is an acquired taste, and you have to go to small town festivals to find barbecue mutton. That season kicks off in June with our Mutton Fest in the river town of Tebbets. The street fair here in Fulton has it. The river town of Mokane over Labor Day weekend is known for their mutton. And then in October, the even smaller town of Cowood closes it out. And while it's an acquired taste, those who love it think salad's got nothing on mutton. You'll have to come and check it out.
Given that I have worked with lamb producers across the country, it's a region I definitely have to check out. We are talking with
yes.
Renee Graham of Callaway County Tourism.
And Renee, what's the best way to get to Fulton? Do most people drive in or fly and rent a car? And what's the best air gateway?
Well, sure. We are primarily a drive market. I mean, America's love affair with cars is no secret, which is why Auto World exists here in Fulton. But the interstate highway system began actually here in our area. And I-70 runs from the Rocky Mountains to Maryland. U.S. Highway 54, which is our route to the Lake of the Ozarks, runs from Illinois all the way to El Paso. And it actually has remnants that are similar to Route 66. But for those that want to fly in, we're 2 hours from Kansas City and 2 hours from St. Louis International Airports. Columbia Regional Airport has direct flights to and from Dallas, Chicago, and Denver. And we have a new route coming in from Charlotte that's in the works and should come online before too long.
That is awesome, Renee. Can you tell us how listeners can learn more about the National Church Hill Museum, the town of Fulton, and Callaway County, Missouri?
Well, our website is visitfulton.com. We're actually in the process of refreshing that, but it is up and running, and it's chock full of information. We invite you to follow us on Facebook at Visit Fulton, and certainly you can email me at info@visitfulton.com.
And our special guest tonight on Travel Itch Radio has been Renee Graham, Tourism Director of Callaway County. Renee, thank you for being our guest on Travel Itch Radio.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on your show. Be well, everyone. I hope you will come visit once it's safe to do so. And while we're all kind of staying home and keeping ourselves safe, you know, it's a great time to research where you want to travel next. And there's a lot of people that are looking forward to welcoming travelers once again.
Well, having just seen Porgy and Bess, I love the song, I've Got Plenty of Mutton. So I look forward to coming to Fulton
yes.
and trying it out.
Absolutely.
And thinking about gifts for Mother's Day, Father's Day, or graduation, consider my book, The New Baseball Bible, an unorthodox illustrated history that's not only the most unusual baseball book ever published, but costs less than a sawbuck. Such a deal. Order on Amazon.com today as a gift for a special someone or even for yourself. And that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, we'll talk to Shoshana Wasserman of the First Americans Museum in Oklahoma City. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my fabulous co-host, Keita Roberts, a.k.a. Girl Carnivore, and our wonderful guest tonight, Renee Graham, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night.
Is that it?